Almighty God, we want to thank you for today, a very, very special day. We want to thank you because of your goodness towards us. We want to thank you because your word carries power. And your word, its spirit, and its life. My Father, my God, as we hear from you this morning, Father, may we fulfill our destinies in you in Jesus' name. Father, as we hear from you this morning, failure will become history in our lives in Jesus' name. As we hear from you this morning, O Lord, derailment will become a thing of the past in Jesus' name. Father, our hearts will stay on you and we will keep our focus. Lord Jesus, as we keep our focus on you, O Lord, you will indeed make us whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been going over a series for some time now. We've been talking about divine assignment. We've been talking about divine assignment. And I think when we first started talking about divine assignments, we talked about the role of grace in carrying out what God has called you to do. We also talked about, we went after that to talk about the role of divine provisions to help you accomplish what God has called you to do. And last week we talked about the products of divine assignment, because indeed divine assignment do lead to outcomes. They do have products. We say they have goals and purposes, and that you are called for a purpose. We also said that divine assignments produce results. We said in getting the result, you do that which you can control, and the rest you prayerfully commit to God. We also said you can continue to be fruitful irrespective of your circumstances. We said you don't have to wait until things change before you can serve God and please Him. We looked at the situation of Elisha and how he continued to be in position of dominion and authority, serving God until he took his last breath. We also said that divine assignments, they are covenant based, so they are not circumstance based, and that God will always honor your obedience. We also look at the life of Elisha as a proof that after Elisha had died, God's promise of a double portion of anointing was still fulfilled. We talked about divine assignment always leaving a legacy of righteousness. And we said for that to happen, They have to be executed according to divine instructions. And lastly, because divine assignments are carried out in righteousness, they are sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. And when such offerings proceed, to the Lord, God will then begin to magnify you like he magnified Joshua before the people. The Lord will magnify you in Jesus' name. I'm well aware of our time constraint. So, let's quickly open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We are going to read from verse 28. Romans 8, we'll read from verse 28 to verse 39. This is a message that God had given me. God actually gave me this message before the one I preached last week. But God said not to preach it last week. And I'm preaching this today. And I believe that God is set to bless someone in Jesus' name. Go past the way it is said, and I want you to take hold of the content, what God has to tell you. Romans 8, 28 to 39. Let me quickly read. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Again, is the same word as God magnifying Joshua before the people. The Lord will glorify you in Jesus' name. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So who can be against us? Eh? Oh, there's somebody who can be against us. So. Who can be against us? Eh? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's only one person who can be against us, and that is yourself. Praise the Lord. No one can be against you if God be for you. Only you can be against yourself. You will not be against yourself today in Jesus' name. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all what? All things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Just thank God this morning. I want you to just thank God and say, Father, I thank you. Because you are the one who justified me. He said, who can lay any charge to the God's elect? For he is the one that justifies. He will justify you in Jesus' name. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yeah, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. So today we are looking at divine assignments, obstacles. Divine assignments, the obstacles. There are two reasons why I'm preaching this message at this time. First, because God asked me to. And when I got the message, somehow God told me it was not the right time. And I preached last Sunday, and thereafter, the way God has led me and some of the things that have occurred had indicated to me that it is time to preach this message. Thirdly, we cannot know all that we have known about divine assignments, some of the things that may prevent us from achieving or reaching our goal. You will reach your goal in Jesus' name. Up to 70% or more of the obstacles are actually within our control. There are things that God empowering and enabling us, we are in charge of, we can take care of through the grace of God. Hence, we need to know what some of those obstacles can be. It would have been so wonderful. It would have been so wonderful if, as God has called us, we go out, there are no obstacles. That's so good. For example, just imagine how wonderful the world would be if all of us, all of you that started primary one, finished, you know, went to high school, thereafter went to the uni, thereafter became professionals, and all of you became billionaires. It would be so wonderful, isn't it? I was telling my wife this morning, we were talking, and I remember some of my classmates in high school. In fact, some of them, since we left school, have never mentioned their names again. And so as we were talking, I remember them. And I started wondering where they are. In fact, my plan is to actually go and Google their name, you know, and just find out if I'll hear anything about them. It just occurred to me. So, everyone can start the same way. Not everyone will end the same way. You are going to end well in Jesus' name. How many of us believe that indeed we are assigned? If you believe that you are divinely assigned, that you are not just walking the surface of the earth just like that, that indeed God has a plan for your life and you are divinely assigned. If you are in the house, can you just lift up your hand unto the Almighty God? I know I'm divinely assigned. Then this message is for you. Watch out for these obstacles, and they will not trip you over in Jesus' name. The reason everyone will start the same way and not end the same way is because of some of these obstacles that I'm going to talk to us about. There are those things, like I told us, that are within our power. There are those things that we can do better when it comes to them. And I think the first thing that becomes very crucial if we are going to walk with God, coming to Him. Because the Bible says, that without faith, no one can please God. For they that come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Of course, the first and most important thing that you need to work on, that I need to work on, is the area of your belief. If indeed you know you are divinely assigned. Do you know some people don't even believe that they are divinely assigned? In fact, that is the starting point. If you don't believe that you are divinely assigned, how can you pursue your purpose? If you don't believe that you are divinely assigned, what happens is this: you will just go along like the crowd. You'll be tossed to and fro. I remember during the economic downturn in Nigeria one time, and I don't know if that is still the case, you will notice that business was coming in season. It's not how well people sell, but the kind of business. If the mama of Syndicate is selling bread, and it looks like a lot of people are coming to her, then I will start to sell bread. If my neighbor becomes a contractor, it doesn't matter whether he's collecting the money or not executing the contract. So long as he's riding a new car and building a new house, I will resign my job and I will become a contractor. That is what happens in the lives of people that are not aware that they are divinely assigned. The first thing is to believe that you are divinely assigned, and to identify the reason why God has apprehended you. And after that, the next area of your belief that you need to work on is to believe that the person who has called you, that is God who has called you for this particular purpose, will see you through. Not only will He see you through, but that He has the best. The best for your life in that thing He has called you into. That particular thing may look trivial, and everyone else may not want to do it. But if that is what God has called you into, that is where God is going to prosper you. Everyone else may be doing it, and the outcome for them not so good or not good. But when you put your hands to it, it takes a different dimension. You must believe. In other words, if you are going to succeed, you have to work on your unbelief and come to a point where you are in agreement with God. You know what? you have to be specially favored for God to still have his way in your life. You see, sometimes God may choose to override your unbelief and do things, but not many people enjoy that kind of privilege. It's not that God is partial. I know. Who? Sarah. She laughed. It was a laugh of unbelief. But God suspended her unbelief and still did what he wanted to do in her life. But everyone is not so. We need to work on our unbelief for God to be able to do, or for us to be able to finish our assignment. If you look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, the Bible, and I've shared this with us over and over again, but remember that faith cometh by hearing, and by keeping on hearing the word of God. So you will hear it again. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 to 3 say, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in them that had it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. Now, let's understand a few things. When was the success of your divine assignment completed? Eh? Do you know when it was completed? Eh? We read it here. The work was finished before the foundation of the world. Your success was already predetermined before the foundation of the world. That's what God said here. The place where you are going, where God is sending you to, what he has asked you to do, he had finished the work before the foundation of the world. Not just you, everyone that God has called, just like the children of Israel. It was all predetermined. It was all done before the foundation of the world. But the Bible said, not everyone that was called entered into their rest. In other words, not everyone that was divinely assigned finished their course, nor finished their race, nor did well before their master. Not everyone that was called was accomplished. You will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Why? He said, because the same gospel that brought out the vision of God for their life, that some people received and prosper, that same gospel, because of unbelief, because it was not mixed with faith, those people came short of accomplishing the purpose for which God called them. You will not be among that statistics in Jesus' name. When they talk about success, you will succeed in Jesus' name. One of the things to guard against is this. Stop seeing this race that is set before us as a collective thing. It is not a collective race at all. It is a personal race that has been set before you as an individual. As long as you see it, you see, we like to use collective terms. Us, we. As long as you see it as a collective thing, without running your own race individually and running well, you are going to be trapped. Because you are going to be comparing yourself with some people. I'm not doing badly. After all, I know that Pastor Adeboye, he gets angry. So, on the scale of anger, he gets like 10. And I'm only 5, you see. That is not the yardstick. It is a personal race that you have to run. Irrespective of how other people are running. Until we get that thing,
we may never achieve what God wants us to achieve or be who God wants us to be. I've told us, when you go to chicken pen, you see a lot of chicken there. Eagles, you only see them in isolation, usually one or two. Somebody gave me a photo of a few, but that is a rarity to see them gather together. If you cannot endure isolation, you can never accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Unbelief. If all that we are called to do is to compare ourselves with ourselves, then of course I believe that we'll be running in vain, because it does not matter what we are, it does not matter what we acquire, it doesn't matter. Look, one day death will separate us. The most binding relationship in this world is the relationship of marriage. Yet God acknowledges that it gets dissolved by death. That's the condition that the Bible gives. If a partner dies, the other one is what? Is free. You acquire all the properties in this world, the day you die, the property is free. That relationship between you and that thing is broken forever. Forever. You are divinely assigned. Let me tell you something. I believe there is room, there is enough provision in what God has to prosper all of us. If there is anyone that is not meant to prosper, they are out there. Not you, who has the fountain of prosperity. And I'm talking about all round prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. You will prosper in Jesus' name. One of the obstacles you have control over is your choice of friends. Peer pressure. Psalm 1, verse 1. If you look at the book of Psalm 1 very well, basically what Psalm 1 is saying is this. Psalm 1 gave you an option of choosing between two friends. Look at that very well. If you read verse 1 and then look at the subsequent verses, basically it gives you an option of choosing between two friends. The first friend are what? The scornful, the wicked, and so on. It's just one friend. Because everyone who does that belongs to who? The other party. The other friend that God has given you an option to choose is what? Is the word of God. He said, the righteous is not so. He meditates upon the word of God day and night. And he then goes on to say, and such a man is like what? A plant who is planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its due season. In other words, how successful you are going to be depends on how friendly with the word of God you are, leaving aside the other friends. The reason we need to know this is because as individuals we are unique. You are not like anyone else. Let me tell you, even identical twins, they have points of differences. No one is completely 100% like you, think like you, act like you. You see, and honestly, I've told, the more we realize this, the less we are going to have resentment and anger against each other. Because nobody will ever think like you, do things like you, take the same decision as yourself. It is not possible. There are bound to be points of differences. Definitely. Because even identical twins don't necessarily take. Put one in London and put one in Australia and ask them the same question. They are not likely to give you the same answer. Let me tell you something. We have to come to a place where we pursue, that assignment so much so that we are ready to exclude any other thing. In Mark chapter 3, when the mother of Jesus and all the other people came to him, what did Jesus say to them? When they told him, he said, look, behold, your brethren are waiting for you outside. He said, these are my brethren. These ones that do the work of God with me. These ones that do the word of God with me. In other words, everyone who will be your friend, they are the people who are chasing the same thing. Who want to see the kingdom of God expanded. Who want to see the glory of God come. Anyone that is not that way inclined, be careful. Do you know that the members of the family of Jesus, they were some of the people who believed later. They were not the first group of people who believed him. Do you know that? Oh, because they actually said in Mark 3, they said he's gone loopy. They thought something was wrong with him. They actually said they should take hold of him, grab him. And then, of course, we will succeed when we choose to develop the necessary tools. Necessary tools. There are certain tools that we just have to develop in our Christian work. And that includes patience, among other things. Let's quickly look at James chapter 5 verse 7. If you have New Living Translation, you can read it for me. James 5, 7. Is anyone there or you want me to read? James 5, 7. Okay. It says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. The husbandman is what? Is patient. I've told us before, you have to decide the kind of farmer you want to be or the kind of crop you want to grow. He said the farmer is patient. Some farmers, they plant maize. I've told us before, when they plant maize, how long does it take before you get returns? Eh? Within 3 months, you get returns. But if you choose to plant palm trees, how long does it take you? It takes you years. When you plant palm tree, what do you get from it? Everything about palm tree is useful. The trunk, this thing you make broom, oil, what have you? Everything about it is useful. You choose to be the kind of farmer you want to be. But anyone who wants to walk with the Lord must look at end time gain. Must look at where they're going. Because the husbandman is always patient. Sowing and waiting to reap. And of course, as that is one of the personal development that needs to take place, one of the things we need to look at is also anger and pride. It was only recently that I understood the relationship between anger and pride. Let me quickly share it with us. If I can't finish today, we'll finish it some other time. If you are the managing director of a big company here that employs, say, 500 people, 2,000 people, or the managing director of a company that employs you, if he says, please come, he says, please come, can you meet me at 2 o'clock? Are you likely to take offense? You would say, please, okay, I will see you at 2 o'clock. It is left to you to go and rearrange your diary, right? And then you meet with him. Good. If, as somebody said, if the role is reversed, you are the managing director, and one of the cleaners sees you, say, hello, please, can I see you at 2 o'clock? What do you think will happen? What will happen? You'll be angry. Why do you think you're angry? Me, director, you just called me 2 o'clock. But if it's the other way around, why are you not angry? If you are the one receiving, why are you not angry? Aha. The only reason you are angry is because of pride. Because of where you are. I, the director, without prior arrangement, he just spring it surprise on me and said, you want to see me at 2 o'clock? Who is he? If care is not taken, you will orchestrate that they get fired from work. But if it's the other way around, you say, okay, sir, you have something on your diary, you will go and rearrange it, and you will come and meet them at 2 o'clock. If we are going to finish our divine assignment, we need to deal with some of these things. And of course, we cannot finish our divine assignment except we note some things that are part of the job. Part of the job description. On our way to accomplishing the purpose for which God has called us. One of the things that will go with it include what? Frictions. Misunderstanding. They will come. Hurt. Pain. Anger, disappointment. In fact, lots of people that you want to rely on, they will fail you. Until we come to that point that we begin to depend on God and Him alone. Sometimes I will have reacted before I realize it and say, God, this is part of my training. I'm sure you've been hearing me say it. If anyone who's close to me, I say, it's part of my training. It's part of my training so that God can bring out the best in me. Some of the things that used to get my backup, they no longer get my backup because, praise God, at least I've moved some stage. He's lifted me above those. He will lift you above your circumstances in Jesus' name. I have no time to expatiate on this. There are things that are outside ourselves that we don't necessarily have control over. But I can tell you that God has control over them. Do you know the nature of the assignment? Sometimes you see when God has opened your eyes and you see what God is committing to you, the nature of the assignment itself may be so great, may be so big that you are afraid. Not just the enormity of what God has called you into. Sometimes it is because of the associated things. And when you look at it, you say, how can this be possible? But yet, he who has called you is able to make it possible for you. You walk in a place where things are hard, and God has told you expressly that that is an outlet for you to reach out to people. It may look hard to you at that time, but why don't you persist and prayerfully go through it? See what God will do in your life. That may be your training ground. I met someone, as many of us would do. You know, I'm an example of that. So I'm not talking about anyone in particular. When I first came, you know, from Nigeria, and of course, I used to think I knew some things, and I came working a different culture, and I discovered that people knew other things, and of course, that some people even knew more, well, more. And what happens is this: when you come with that mentality, on three occasions, my wife is here, on three occasions, I was going to pack my load and go. I said, meanwhile, I was supposed to be in my training ground. And let me tell you something, some of the things I learned over time, I'm not talking about academics. Some of the things God has taught me, I pray if I had not stayed. Three times. In fact, the last time I was going to put my house on the market because I wanted to go. There will be things that are outside your control, yet God wants to bring out the best in you. I don't know what your situation is right now. It may look like you should give up, sell up and go. Where are you going? Has he promised you? Will he not do it? It may look like it's outside your control. I've been telling people, I said, look, the reason I came to Jesus is because I know I don't have control. If I know I have control over my own life and can do all things, then why would I have to come to Jesus? I would not need him. And I want to believe the same thing about you, that the reason you have come to the Lord is because you know he can take charge. Look, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what the situation may be in your life. There will, no matter how rosy it may look, there will always be situations, there will be other circumstances that will want to tell you, no, it's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. But I can tell you that with God on your side, it is possible. Praise the Lord. And the other thing that I want to talk to us about is that we need to be mindful of time. Even though we don't own time, we can manage the time that we have. We have a culture of not managing time. I must say it. We have a culture of not doing what? Of not managing time. We know, or maybe I should put it this way, we are selective in how we manage our time. Unfortunately, we get it the wrong way around. The things of less importance are the things we play emphasis on. I want to tell you today, who are the musicians in Nigeria? If you bring some of them here today, some people, if they say that musician is going to play at 6, some people will have queued up by 3. Aha. Some people will have queued up by 3 o'clock. Am I right? But say there's a church program. Say we are going to worship God. There's somebody, I'm not going to mention him. I've been telling, if you give an appointment for 5 o'clock, that person will take off at 5 o'clock to go to that appointment. 5 o'clock is the starting time, oh. They will leave from home at 5 o'clock. And of course, it doesn't matter how long it's going to take to drive there. If it's 1 hour, then it's going to be 1 hour late. If it's 2 hours, it will be 2 hours late. We need, if you are going to finish and finish strong and fulfill the counsel of God for your life, we need to be better managers of time, because time does not wait for anyone. And of course, I will crave your indulgence. Do you want me to spend 5 more minutes? Praise God. There are 2 more things I will talk to us about. There are dream killers. Joseph's brothers, they are dream killers. Look, it's part of the assignment. When you plan, you better plan for it also. That, look, when you are doing your thing, when you are serving God, when you are going out, the things you are doing, when God is calling you and say, look, God tells you that, go there, I'm going to bless you. There will be people who will discourage you. There will be dream killers around you. Look, I've discovered that God is always planting them. Oh, I don't know who is planting them. Wherever you go, they will be there. When Joseph had his dreams, were there dream killers? Everywhere he went to, he started from his brothers. Maybe when they sold him out of slavery, he said, thank God, even though now I'm a slave, but at least those are my brothers. I've left them behind. And what happens? Potiphar's wife. Another dream killer. There are dream killers everywhere you go. But the Lord will deliver you in Jesus' name. The first thing is to recognize that you are divinely assigned. Who can be against you? If the Lord is for you, if you are not against yourself, nobody can be against you. You will have to succeed. But let me tell you something, if your dream is going to succeed, you have told us before, you must be somebody who desires that other people's dreams succeed too. How do I know that? I've told us as a church, you remember, I said the fulfillment of your dream depends on the fulfillment of other people's dreams. If the dreams of the butler and the baker were not fulfilled, then Joseph's dream would never have been fulfilled. If the dream of Pharaoh was not fulfilled, then the dream of Joseph would never have been fulfilled. If you want your dream to be fulfilled, you must look. Sometimes, let me tell you something. Do you know it's not easy? Do you know it's not easy? You want to be the best around the place. You want to be the best that everybody will see and say, Babake. It takes pushing your flesh under to begin to pray and desire that the dreams of other people be fulfilled. When you begin to do that, you see your own dreams will come true. If you are going to be a pastor and you get caught up in your own dreams and you never remember to pray for people, never remember, there's no way you will succeed. Because there are dream killers. You must never join dream killers. You must be part of the people who want to see people's dreams come true. And then you see God set you on high in Jesus' name. I read a very sad story a few days back. I don't know, many of us who read Nigerian news. There was this young woman. She was a trader. She was doing business. She was doing business. She met this boy, this jobless boy. Somehow they made arrangement. The boy started living with her. This girl would sell. She would go and sell and come back late in the evening, according to the story. Very late in the evening, every day. On her way back, you buy what they are going to eat, you know, and take care of this boy. Not long, the neighbor discovered that this girl disappeared. Within 2-3 days, everyone. So one of them just peered through the window and saw blood. And then they were on the lookout for the boy until he came back home. Apparently, he came to clean the blood up. And they grabbed him, handed him over to the police. What happened? He said he took an iron bar, and while the girl was sleeping at night, hit her on the head and killed her. And they asked him, why did you kill her? He said, you know, he said the girl buys better clothes for herself and buy him not so fanciful clothes. This happened in Port Harcourt. And that when they go to church, again, the thing that baffled me is that it was connected with church. And then when they go to church, she appears flashier than him. Go and read the story. There are dream killers. You will not come across them in Jesus' name. Let me tell you something. You know, the Yoruba, they say something, Ejo Lankoro, Aiko Jaja. In other words, it is what you say that people are going to base it on. Whatever. So you can cause confusion and know what to say. But let me tell you something. God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. It's on the basis of what is in your heart that God is going to judge you, because he judges according to the intention of man. Lastly, this one I learned recently. Intergenerational curses can be a dream killer, or can may debar people from fulfilling the call of God upon their lives. I'm not going to go through the Bible passages, but I'm going to give us as references, and I'm going to show us something there. If you look at the book of Genesis chapter 34 verse 22, Genesis 34 verse 22, intergenerational curses. There's a man named Reuben. Who was Reuben? What was his position? Was the firstborn. Praise the Lord. He did something. He did something to his wife's, to his father's wife. And so when the father was about to die, what did the father do? He cursed him. He said he will forever be a servant. And what happens is this. Of course, when there's a curse like that, it means Reuben's children will also be servants when they grow up, right? Praise God. Now, if you go to the book of Genesis chapter 49 verse 3 to 4, there's another son of Jacob. His name is Levi. Did the father bless him or curse him? No, he cursed him. He said because of his anger. He said because his anger was very fiery, he said they were going to be scattered in Israel. In other words, they will not be able to come together as one. Read that passage very well. He said they will not be able to come together. He said because he's so furious. You remember when somebody did something to their sister, how they organized and went and killed the guy and caused trouble for their dad. Good. He said because of his anger, he said, this is what's going to happen. God will scatter them among Israel. I'm taking us somewhere. Praise the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 32. Somebody quickly open Exodus 32 verse 26 to 29. I want to take you somewhere. Exodus 32, 26 to 29. If you get there, quickly read for me. Or you want me to just paraphrase it? Okay. When Moses went and got the Ten Commandments, he came back. When he came back, what happened? He found out that Aaron had made the golden calf for the people. Right? And what happened? He stood there, dumbfounded. Praise the Lord. Just leave it there. When Moses came and realized that they had desecrated the camp, Aaron had led the people astray, what did Moses say? He said, all of you who are on the Lord's side, come to my side. Who are the people who moved to his side? The Levites. He said, all the Levites, all of them moved to Moses' side. Praise God. Now, open your Bible quickly to Numbers chapter 10. I have chosen the Levites among the Israelites as what? For first one. In other words, they have replaced the Reubenites. The blessings of the firstborns have come upon the Levites because they took a stand for the Lord. I've chosen them as substitute. There's a blessing that goes with the firstborn. And I also learned something. There are people who are biological firstborn, and there are people who are God's firstborn. God's firstborn will prosper. You'll be God's firstborn in Jesus' name. When you stay on the side of the Lord, you are on your way to prosperity. He said, I've substituted, I've removed the Reubenites, I have put the Levites as the firstborn. When you see people do evil, don't follow them. Honestly, please, it doesn't matter how attractive it may be. Separate yourself, choose to be different. Be on the side of the Lord. Because they chose to be on the side of the Lord, as we read, he said, I have done what? Please read on. Praise the Lord. Instead of choosing from house to house, look at it this way. Because all the other families, they did not go to the side of Moses. Instead of God choosing firstborn from each family to bless them, he now chose just a single family and said, you represent all the firstborn of Israel. I no longer will choose from these families anymore because of act of disobedience. You fulfill the counsel of God for your life in Jesus' name. You be a substitute to the unbelievers, that God will bring you up and exalt your horn like that of the unicorn in Jesus' name. We need to be careful. There are obstacles there, but we can make it, and we will make it in Jesus' name. Because God, when God chooses to make you the firstborn, it will not be according to your strength. It's not going to be according to your position. It's not going to be according to where you are. It's just that God will just choose to favor you, like he favored the Levites. And they started standing before the Lord God, and the Reubenites were displaced. You are going to displace someone today in Jesus' name. I say you begin to displace somebody in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will position you for excellence. Why don't we just rise on our feet as we thank the Lord this morning? Because anything that will stop you, you must not allow anything to stop you. Persecutions, the situation, the circumstances, don't let them stop you. Be on the side of the Lord, because God will always substitute. He said, when danger comes and the righteous is going there, what does the Lord do? He pulls away the righteous from there, and the wicked goes in his stead. In other words, some people will die your death. Some people will die your death. When you are meant to die, some people will just go there. You won't know why you didn't go out that morning, and someone else will go out. And then have you heard of people who said, I missed my plane. Somehow I missed my plane. And then when they say, yeah, that plane has crashed. Oh, that vehicle was supposed to take me. They refused to take me. I got angry. I took another car. And when we got there, we saw the first vehicle. It's crashed. Why don't you just thank God this morning? Because the Lord loves you. He has counted you as his own. He has positioned you. He has a plan for your life. You are going somewhere. You are not just in existence. You are in existence for a purpose. Ah, thank you, Jesus. And I worship you. I give you praise and I give you glory. For you are such a good God. You are so true. Ah, Lord. Other people may be cursed. And their curses will stand. But like the Levites, even the curse of their father, the Lord reversed it. And make them the firstborn. Not only were they not scattered, the Lord brought them together to stand in his temple. So will you do in our lives, O Lord. Every curse, every ordinance that stand against us, today I reverse them in Jesus' name. I say every ordinance that stand against your life, from today they are reversed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, O Lord. We say indeed you are good. We say indeed you are God. There is none like you, O Lord. Take all the glory to yourself, O Lord. Even in places where we have with our own mouth dug graves for ourselves. Father, in Jesus' name, I pull such a one out today in the mighty name of Jesus. You will live the fullness of life. The blessings of God will pursue and overtake you in Jesus' name. There is no obstacle that will stand in your way. You will break through. I say you will break through in Jesus' name. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we say